Ignite My Fire is the theme of the 2015 Spiritual Renewal Missions Conference held September 16th through September 20th, 2015 at Bethany Baptist Church, located at 7745 Tioga Street in the Homewood Brushton community of Pittsburgh, PA. Dr. William R. Glaze is the senior pastor. We have been praying that God would bless this conference in every way and that people citywide would attend. Reverend James Ford, pastor at Christ Bible Church of Chicago, Illinois, is the keynote speaker. Other missionaries and speakers will also take part. Come and bring a bus or van load. Further details can be found at www.bethanybaptist-pittsburgh.org or by calling 412-242-3255.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and I'm coming to you with a special announcement. Classes for the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute will begin on September the 8th. Why don't you come and take a class with us? You can gain wisdom that will give you a peace of mind in dealing with everyday life situations, and also biblical knowledge that will help equip you in your service to the Lord. Classes that we are offering this fall: on Monday evenings, we are offering Introduction to American Sign Language that will help you to be able to interpret the Bible and other Christian literature for those who are hearing impaired. Also, we will be offering a class on Tuesday evening dealing with the cults, understanding false religions. And then on Thursday, we have two classes that we are offering. That one is Defending the Christian Faith, an apologetics course, and another one is Background of the New Testament, which kind of gives you some insight as to what was going on in the background of the New Testament times. And then we have our biblical counseling program that we are offering on Tuesday evenings. And this is a nationally certified program that takes 3 years, but you can begin this fall with us, and by the end of 3 years, you will be a certified biblical counselor. So why don't you come and join us for a class at the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute this fall? Give us a call at 412-242-3255. God bless you, radio friends.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we begin a new series entitled God Came to Us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God Came to Us. Give us satisfaction on this journey.
Lord, somebody said, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord during Advent season. We can be a lot of other places, getting mad at somebody in the mall parking lot, trying to beat somebody to one of the last tablets on the shelf. But you decided this morning that you would do that later. And you would come to the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Our theme for Advent today is God came to us to give us satisfaction on this journey. And if you would open in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, Chapter 10, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Jesus is speaking of the Good Shepherd. And he says that he is the Good Shepherd. He is the door by which the sheep enter into the fold. And if the sheep will hear his voice, that they will follow him. And he says that if anybody comes any other way but through him, that they are a thief and a robber. Now, I want to say this because I look at this teaching and in John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. So every time I refer to this passage, I always like to correct this doctrine, and that is this verse right here is not talking about the devil, okay? A lot of people use it to talk about the devil, but if you go back and read the context of John chapter 10, it's talking about false teachers, you know, who are inspired by the devil, but this verse, now we can find plenty other scriptures that tell us that the devil is a thief that steals, kills, and destroys. There's a whole lot of other scriptures that you can find to point to that, but this one in particular is not talking about the devil. But Jesus is talking about himself in this verse, and he says in this verse that I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So there are a lot of reasons Jesus came, and we could enumerate him all morning. But the one that we want to pick out for this message today is Jesus said, I came. And what does the word Advent mean? The word Advent means to come or the coming. Jesus said that I have come, I am come, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God came to us to give us satisfaction on this journey. The meaning of John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes to destroy the sheep, but Christ came to give abundant life to the sheep. The word abundant in the Greek is perissos, and it means, look at this, to provide in superabundance. To provide in superabundance. Jesus said that I am come that I might provide in superabundance. I looked up the word satisfaction in the dictionary, and according to the dictionary, it means the fulfillment of a need. Jesus came that our needs would be satisfied and provided for in a superabundance. That any need that we have, that it would be provided for in a superabundance. And that's why David could proclaim in the 23rd Psalm that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not even begin to want. Why? Because we have this abundant God who gives to us lavishly, who pours upon us spiritual blessings, who pours upon us material blessings, who pours upon us general blessings in life. And so the child of God should always live in abundance. Now, I'm not all the time talking about, because, you know, sometimes we have the misguided perspective that we should always, you know, have our pockets filled and, you know, a bunch of money and, you know, live on a mansion on a thousand hills. No, that's not what Jesus is saying when he talks about this idea of abundance. But what I get is that our needs, he will satisfy. That whatever our needs are, whatever we have in life, he will satisfy. That he came because he saw something lacking in us. He came because he saw something lacking in mankind, and he said, I have come that I might fulfill that which is lacking. Now, as we examine this whole idea of satisfaction this morning, I want to turn our attention to one book in the Bible. There was a man who wrote an entire book about the search for satisfaction. Otis Redding, he sang the song, I can't get no satisfaction. Solomon, in his book, Ecclesiastes, was looking for satisfaction. He wrote 12 chapters that talked about a search for satisfaction. And so what I want to do this morning is look at his search for satisfaction and show us that there's really only one place for satisfaction. And we'll talk about that. But as we look at his outline, I have outlined the whole book. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 16, there is no lasting satisfaction in this world. And I want to show you that plain and clear this morning. So it's not found in this world. If you are looking for lasting satisfaction in this world, then I'm going to bust your bubble this morning, because you're going to see some things that's going to break your heart. There's no lasting satisfaction in this world. The second thing we're going to look at from chapter 1, verse 17, all the way through chapter 12, the world's attempt to find satisfaction. Your coworkers, your neighbors, your relatives, they're on a search. They're on a search to find satisfaction. And so we want to look at some of the things that they're doing to try to find satisfaction. And then we want to conclude with this thought that Solomon leaves us with, and that is satisfaction is found beyond this world. You are not going to find it in this world. And so the first thing that we want to do, let's look at Solomon's background, because if he's going to talk about satisfaction, then I want to know, what is your resume? What qualifies you to speak on a topic such as this? You're claiming to be the expert. Solomon, according to the scriptures, was one of the wisest men that ever lived. And so as he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, he's writing from a viewpoint of wisdom. But what is his background? Well, we see that he had a master's in economics, according to 1 Kings 4, 7 through 26. He masterfully guided and directed the economy of the whole country. He was an expert in botany. He knew about flowers. He could describe to you all the different types of flowers that there were on the earth. He was knowledgeable in zoology. He had an understanding of the animals. He was a poet. He wrote 1,005 songs. He was a sage. That means he was wise. He wrote over 3,000 proverbs. He was wealthy. Had more wealth than just about anybody that lived at his time. As a matter of fact, he was so wealthy that the Queen of Sheba traveled all the way from Africa because she heard about this bad dude named Solomon. And she wanted to see if it was real. And she said, when she got there and looked at it, she said, I heard a lot about you. But once I got here, the half has not been told. And so Solomon was wealthy. He was a military genius, according to 2 Chronicles. He was world renowned. He was known all over the world, according to 1 Kings 10. Oh, he was the doctor of love. He wrote the book of the Song of Solomon. And if you want to read a erotic, sensual, X-rated book in the Bible, then read the Song of Solomon. Nothing is more X-rated than that, but it's X-rated in God. You know, it's from God's perspective, which means it's good. And then we might want to say that he was an expert in relationships, or maybe not. He had 700 wives, and as one little boy said, 300 porcupines. 300 concubines. So we may be led to believe or not believe that he was an expert in relationships. But look at his background. So he's getting ready to tell us something through the Spirit of God, inspired by God. He's getting ready to tell us something out of his wealth of life. And so as he shares this with us in this book, the first thing that we want to point out, and here we need to see this because God is trying to get this message through to us, and that is this: there is no lasting satisfaction in this world. There is no lasting satisfaction in this world. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And verses 1 and 2. The words of the preacher. And just to give you this side note, because people ask me all the time, what's that on your license plate? What does your license plate say? And right here, the words of the preacher. That word preacher is koheleth, and that's what's on my license plate. Now, I say that because people ask me that all the time, and I know some of y'all been wondering. It comes right here from the book of Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so what he is telling us is that everything that exists is just a vanity. That word vanity means a breath in the wind. That if you were to go outside on a cold day and you were to breathe and your breath would come in front of your face, if you were to try to grab it, you would come up with a hand full of air. He said, everything is vanity. This pulpit right here, I can hold on to it. I can stand behind it. I can preach from it. But one day, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, one day this pulpit, if it's still around, will be pulverized and turned to dust. You won't be able to grab a hold of this pulpit. It will become absolutely nothing. Those chairs that you're sitting in, that car that you rode to church this morning, that home that you're going to go to after a while, it is all going to become dust. And so he lets us know that everything is empty. There's nothing that you can hold on to. You know, it's like the guy who was getting ready to die. And he told his wife to put all of his money in the attic and that he would get it on the way up to heaven. And so he died in his house, and his wife had the homegoing service, funeral service for him. And after the service, she was grieving and kind of forgot about it. And a couple weeks later, it came to her mind that he had said that. And so she ran up into the attic to look to see if the money was there. And it was still there. And she said, maybe I should have put it in the basement. You can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. Everything is empty. It's all going to come to naught. Got somebody convicted already coming up. Convicted. I didn't even get the invitation yet. Praise God. Amen. Everything will come to nothing. Everything is empty. He goes on to say that there will be no profit in material things. Verse 3, what profit hath a man of his labor which he taketh under the sun? There's nothing. There's nothing that will be left over. That when you stand before the Lord, you're going to stand before him like Job said. Job said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. You're going to return before God with absolutely nothing in your hands. So that lets us know that if you are trying to build up things on this earth and you are trying to find satisfaction in the things of this earth, that it's just not going to happen. There's no material profit in the things of this earth. It's almost like a person, the idea here is what profit? The idea is what's left over? If you were to get your paycheck and, you know, you were to tear it, you know, this part for this person, this part for this person, this part for Peter, this part for Paul, and you were to tear it up and you had nothing left in your hands, absolutely nothing, that's what Solomon is trying to say here. What profit do you have of all your labor under the sun? That if you look at what you have worked for, that one day is just going to become extinct. And there's no profit in that. And then he goes on to say that life is a boring cycle of proceedings. And just think about this. I mean, this is so true. that you get up and you do the same thing every day. You might break the routine. You know, I realized something the other day, and that is every time I come to work, I come the same way. Come down Penn Avenue, take a right at Popeyes, go over to Duquesne Light, People's Gas, Dominion People. You know, same thing. I said, man, I need to change up my routine or something. Somebody could, you know, be out for me. They'll know my routine every day. But that's what life is. Life is just a boring cycle of events. You're going to go to your job, and you're going to do the same thing that you did last week, and at the end of the day, you're going to go home and come back the next day to do it all again. He says in verse 4, one generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Look at the sun. It rises, the sun goes down, and the sun hastens to the place it arose. You see what he said? It rises, it goes down, and it hurries back to where it rose. Why? To rise, to go down, to hurry back. Just a cycle of events. He says in verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about to the north. It whirleth about continually, and the world returneth to the circuits according to its circuits. That the wind is just, it's just going in a circle. You know, it blows down one direction and blows somewhere else, and it just goes around in circles. He says, look at the rivers. Look at the rivers. They all run into the sea, and the sea is not full until the place where the rivers come, thither they go again. You have what's called the hydrological cycle, where evaporation takes place over the ocean, becomes clouds, comes back over the earth in the form of snow and rain and mist, rains and snows and mist on the mountains. That goes down into the valleys, flows back into the rivers. The rivers flow back into the sea. And it's just one cycle of events. Let me ask you, he goes on to say here, look what he says here in verse 10. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. Look. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That you can't, you know, how many people have seen everything they want to see? Why? Because the eye is never satisfied. It always wants to see more. It's like the rivers. They run and they start back over again. They're never filled. They're never full. If you search for things in this world, they won't fill you. They might fill you for a little while, but eventually you have to start all over again. I was watching this program. It was talking about a musician who was on crack. And it said that when you smoke crack, right after you smoke it, you're a genius. And 10 minutes later, you won't be a genius again. Why? Because it doesn't satisfy. And you smoke it, shoot it, whatever, and it takes care of that for the moment, but 10 minutes later,
thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request God Came to Us to Give Us Satisfaction on This Journey. Again, That's 877-831-5060, and request God Came to Us to give us satisfaction on this journey.
If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.